And the Oscar goes to...
Stone Age.
Wow.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another fantastic season of East to West with Nick and Rob. My name is Rob.
And my name is Nick. Hey, Rob. They call me Cuban Pete. I'm the king of the rumba beat.
And your maracas go boom, chicky, boom, boom, chicky, boom.
They call me Cuban Pete. I'm the king of the rumba beat. When I play the maracas, I go chick, chicky, boom, chick, chicky, boom.
Remix it on TikTok. Here we go, baby.
Yeah, with the Wellerman.
What are we talking about today, Rob?
Nick, I gave in. We're going to talk about the Oscars.
It's a wonderful night for Oscar. Oscar, Oscar will win. You didn't think I wasn't going to do this, did you?
Finally, it took 3 seasons to finally get you to agree to do an Oscar episode. Thank you. I appreciate this. I hope I get to be bad cop and you're good cop on this.
No, I'm sorry. I'm going to be the bad cop.
Runners on every base.
Exploding bases.
Look, have you tried NuGenix? An amazing product.
Speaking of NuGenix, let's get this party started.
Lucy, I'm home.
So look, before we get started, Oscars, the 94th Annual Academy Awards. I've heard the complaints. I think it's unfair, some of these complaints, because ultimately last year was a COVID year. It was a little bit weird. The year before that, a little bit of a transition without the host. Honestly, it really didn't hurt the show. I still watched all of it and didn't mind the last couple of years not having hosts. But I would argue, like, why are we tinkering too much with the Oscars? Why are we saying, okay, we're going to throw away the cinematography award and put it on YouTube or something? Like, if you don't like movies, then don't watch the Oscars.
I mean, a lot of people don't like movies because the movies that they pick for the Oscars are just kind of out there sometimes, Nick.
See, that's a conversation I think we should have. As we get into the categories, I'll mention quite a few that I think didn't get recognition that should have. But here's the thing, like, if I am Tom Cruise and I'm going to go up there and I'm going to thank my hairdresser, the guy who does my mani-pedis, and people are like rolling their eyes over and trying to play him off the stage, that's kind of what Hollywood is.
I suppose it's way too much to hope that you're making this up just to bother me.
So if you like movies, you kind of like how the sausage is made, and you got to give these folks a little time to thank everybody.
Yeah, and you gotta let that sausage cook. You can't eat it raw, so, you know.
Yeah, you're gonna have the foreign Greek cinematographer talk for 25 minutes. This is his big moment in the sun. Enjoy it.
I'd like to thank everybody on the Isle of Crete.
We just got canceled again. Us and Joe Rogan in the doghouse.
Damn Joe Rogan.
All right, so let's get into it. Let's start going through the categories. As always, I'll mention it again at the end. You can go to Real Watchability, where I put my Oscar picks up again this year. I want to talk about, right from the get-go, right for the big boys here, let's do Best Picture.
May I have...
I think we've both seen quite a few of these movies. I've seen all the ones that are nominated, and I definitely want to mention some of the folks that didn't get recognition. But right out of the gate, I want to highly recommend, because I know you haven't seen it yet. It's weird because it's on Apple. And the one thing about the Oscars that I'll mention is that sometimes, even if you don't like the show or you don't agree with the way they pick these movies, they will bring movies to your attention that you would have not otherwise seen. And for me, the big one this year of that is Coda, which was an Apple movie that came out some time ago in 2021. I didn't even think about watching it. I had heard Marlee Matlin was doing a movie and I've always liked her from West Wing and stuff, but I didn't get to it until it was nominated. Once it was nominated, it makes it on my list. I watch it. I was absolutely floored by that movie set in Gloucester, Mass. It's an amazing movie about a hearing impaired family where one of the kids hears and the sort of trials and tribulations of that journey. And it was so, so good. So I highly recommend that one. And I kind of am rooting for that one to win Best Picture.
I have not seen it yet. It is on my list to see. I mean, I have seen a bunch of the nominees.
It's up your alley.
Well, it's up in my state. So
yeah.
There's a ton of stuff I haven't seen yet. There's a ton of stuff that you told me not to watch because...
yeah, you can skip some. Look, you brought to attention to quite a few that I'll mention. Being the Ricardos, you pushed me to watch that just this week. And even though it took me a little while to get into it, Sorkin and Lucy, not a perfect marriage there. But by the end of it, I was really charmed by that film. You also pushed me kind of in the direction of The Lost Daughter, which I was just going to cross off and not watch, but I did get to. And I do see why people like that movie, although to me, it's such a downer. I wasn't that super into it.
It's Maggie Gyllenhaal's directorial debut. The movie is just like the book from what I have found out. You have to get used to what's going on in the movie as far as the major amount of cutbacks of another part of the person without giving so much away. But yeah, but there are some really good parts of that movie.
Yeah, and the acting, similar to Being the Ricardos, I think The Lost Daughter have this in common. They are both vehicles for great performances. And I think you can't take your eyes off beautiful Dakota Johnson, and you definitely can't take your eyes off Olivia Colman. That crushes every part she's in. I will say, you know, just for the record, Rob, I feel like I'm a more natural mother than Olivia Colman in that movie.
She cooked like a mother.
She's heartless.
She just wanted to be on her own. But yeah, I understand
that.
So
be on your own. Also, yeah. You know, it's an interesting part, not giving anything really away in the movie, but Maggie Gyllenhaal's husband is Peter Sarsgaard, right? And he is in that movie. Imagine directing your own husband.
Well, you have to say his name correctly because you have to pronounce it with all the A's in it. It's Sarsgaard.
He was great in the Green Lantern movie. Crushed it.
I like him. He usually always plays like a Fed or an agent.
He's in the
agent.
Batman, actually. Yeah, he's in the Batman. You'll probably like him in that. He's right on brand there. He's done a lot of indie movies, and he's a very good actor. I want to point out Belfast, which is another one you haven't seen yet. And when it gets to streaming, I definitely highly, highly recommend that. To me, that's my favorite movie of the year. If you go to Real Watchability, you'll see it number one. Kenneth Branagh has made a lot of movies. Nothing that really blew me away, although a lot of movies I've liked a lot. Much Ado About Nothing. He made that Jack Ryan movie with Chris Pine I liked. The first Thor movie is pretty good. He did that as well. But this is like his opus. This is right up his alley. He's from Ireland. It's in Belfast in the late 60s. Clearly a tumultuous time. And there's so much charm in that script. And not just the way the movie is. You know, a lot of it is shot in black and white, and it kind of transitions from color to black and white, which is clever. But it's the way it's shot cinematography-wise, and that's Harris Sambar-Lucas. I cannot believe he did not get nominated, because it's trying to show the POV from the small child in that movie, and it's just so, so smart the way they do it. It's loaded with Van Morrison songs, which makes it really fun that way. So I can't recommend Belfast anymore.
I'm actually looking forward to seeing that one. I'm looking forward to seeing Coda. Drive My Car is like a 3-hour book on screen.
I didn't officially recommend that. What I said was, if you can survive all those subtitles, that is a heavy, slow movie. But here's what I say about Drive My Car, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on it on the pod. This is an interesting movie because it is 3 hours long. It's got the subtitles, if obviously if you're not Japanese. The thing about it is, like, it's designed to wear you out. So if you can survive till the end, I think you understand why it's such a slow movie. It's designed that way. I do find that to be pretty impressive the way they pulled that off, though I'll never, ever, 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 ever watch it again.
I looked it up. It's French for horse shit.
Be honest, Nick. You actually thought it was a documentary for the Beatles, didn't you?
I thought they'd be on the roof. I was like, the last hour, they're on the roof, right? It just never got there. Just kept driving.
Beep, 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 yeah.
So listen, what I'll do here is let me just break down who the Best Picture nominees are. And then if you want to touch base with any of those that we didn't cover just yet. And then I want to talk a little bit about who didn't get nominated, because I think that point is really important. Belfast, Coda, Don't Look Up, Drive My Car, Dune, King Richard, Licorice Pizza, Nightmare Alley, which I'm blown away by. Maybe we'll talk about that. Power of the Dog and West Side Story, which you just watched, right?
Watched that. I've watched a good portion of those. There's a bunch I have not watched.
Let's just briefly talk about West Side Story, because that's fresh in your mind. Look, here's what I'm going to say about that. There's good performances. Another situation where it's a vehicle for good performances. It's glossy. It's clean. The production design is very good in that movie. What is new and interesting about that movie that required that movie to be remade?
Well, the main reason that movie got made is because in the original, there were no Latinos represented, with the exception of Rita Moreno.
And she is amazing in this movie. And the girl who plays that part, Ariana Du Bois, I think is her name.
Her very first role.
She crushes it. She's very good. I think she's going to win in Best Supporting. But still, at the same time, Rob, like, it's not... I feel like the movie, like, still set in the same time period. I don't know what the purpose of it was, really, other than that, which I guess is valid, but I don't know.
Updated music, updated soundtrack. I mean, there was an open casting call for that movie as well. So a lot of people who were hungry to get a part in the movie got into that.
And so pretty that I hardly can believe I'm real.
La 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 la.
Ansel Elgort, one of the hottest names to say in Hollywood.
I want John Travolta to announce him as a winner, even though he's not nominated.
That would be amazing. And he played Tony. And Rachel Zegler played Maria.
She was so charming. I couldn't take your eyes off of her. Honestly, Rachel and Ariana together, they crush all their scenes together. Are so amazing. But I don't think the flow of that movie is particularly good. I don't think Spielberg brought... It made me feel kind of hollow, even though I was moved. And obviously, I like the original. I like the music.
Like I said, I mean, it was an updated soundtrack. The performances...
A little bit. I mean, they're snapping their fingers and like I'm starting to roll my eyes a little bit. You know, that was kind of weird.
Well, I'm talking about updated as far as the sound goes of the soundtrack.
The sound quality, the set production, the costumes, all those little side pieces in the movie really, really matter and blew me away. But overall...
I will say that the dancing scenes were phenomenal.
Yeah,
so
I agree.
Lots of different camera angles and lots of different choreography went down in this. But yeah, I can tell what you mean. Like, it didn't need to be remade. The original was like so passionate and
yes,
the new one...
it's missing that. You're right. Yeah. You're missing the emotion and the passion for some reason, even though I think about it when it's over, the credits roll, and I'm like, okay, I felt a little bit there, but the love story, what didn't feel as earnest, nothing quite felt as passionate and earnest, and I think that means he made kind of a hollow movie.
And some of the voices you had to get used to with the singing too. I mean, a lot of them, I don't know if they sang professionally beforehand, a lot of the people that did it, or, you know, they had that kind of like ragamuffin New York style back in the 40s, 50s.
Yeah.
And then a lot of other people showed up in it. Maddie Ziegler showed up in it. She's from like Dance Moms, a fantastic dancer. That was the star power, I guess, as far as getting new, younger kids to watch the movie. Maybe.
Well, obviously it didn't work because it did not make a lot of money. So it's one of those examples where it was a big production. It was fairly expensive and it didn't do well in the box office. So you kind of wonder, I lead this into a question for Tick, Tick, Boom. I know you saw some of that. To me, that is the better of the two musicals that got some love in this year's Oscars. Weirdly saying, like, Tick, Tick, Boom is a much less known musical than West Side Story, but I feel like that was put together well and also didn't have the pressure of doing well. The box office just went right to Netflix and caught fire for a little while, and then it kind of went away.
Yeah, Tick, Tick, Boom is what, based off of Rent?
It's the guy who wrote Rent. Yeah, it's his story that he wrote after. And he died fairly young, so.
Okay. Andrew Garfield, of course, he's in another one of the movies that I'm going to say should have been nominated this year for playing Reverend Jim Baker in The Eyes of Tammy Faye. But, you know, he could be nominated as well for Best Actor in that movie, but I don't think a lot of people have seen it yet. And if you haven't, I would suggest seeing that.
Yeah, he was nominated, and I think deservedly so. I don't necessarily think he should win, but he really, really crushes that part. He is an underrated actor. You know how much I loved him in The Social Network. And he shows up in another movie I thought should have been nominated for Best Picture. We'll get to that. Let's talk a little bit about some of the other ones. Best Picture, you know, they increased the sort of amount of pictures that they nominate. I think they can go up to 10 now. So Don't Look Up, the Netflix movie with DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence. I was somewhat surprised that got a nomination, but it was, you know, sort of in the zeitgeist for a while there. So maybe deservedly so, but I would have crossed that one off.
Best part of that movie is at the very end of the credits.
Also, Dune. Look, I think, and I wrote this on the blog, highbrow sci-fi, Denis Villeneuve or whatever, that movie is beautifully made. A lot of technical Oscars, I think, could go to Dune. But ultimately, like, it only covers like 20% of the book. It doesn't get anywhere. It's kind of a slog. Credits roll and you're sort of like lost. I felt like Oscars were trying to get a blockbuster in there and they're like, well, we'll give them Dune. Let's give the people what they want. Let them eat cake. Give them Dune. But people don't care about Dune. If you would have gave us Spider-Man or if you would have gave us Ghostbusters Afterlife or something like that, I think you would have appeased a lot of moviegoers and maybe got some more people watching it. But instead you gave us Dune and nobody really cares about Dune. So
Dune to me should just be renamed Dull.
Yep. It's kind of like that. Unfortunately so. I mean, I'll watch the second one, don't get me wrong, because it's, you know, there's so much reverb and technical stuff that goes on in that makes it fun, but that was a slog of a movie.
When the original one came out back in the mid-80s, I swear to God, I thought it was 6 days long. That's how boring
David
that
Lynch
movie was.
I've talked to my sister Ange about this a few times. I will go to the mattress saying the David Lynch version is better than this version.
Well, David Lynch is a weird dude, so...
Yeah, he fits right in. King Richard, honestly, it came out a little bit early in 2021, so maybe like it lost momentum. But I thought that was, look, it's not easy to tell that story. And I thought the screenwriter did a good job. I think he should win the Oscar. And I thought Will Smith crushed that movie.
I loved that movie. That was fantastic.
I think he's going to win. He's my pick to win. I think it's close, but I think he deserves that one. Also, look, I think everybody likes PTA, Licorice Pizza. I enjoyed Licorice Pizza. That is also a one-off kind of watch for me. You know, I'm big on the rewatchability stuff. I enjoyed it. I had a good time watching it, but I'll never watch that movie again.
Yeah, well, I'm a fan of the that director's other movie. So
yeah, Boogie Nights. Let me ask you this, Rob, because I feel like we haven't had a good conversation about it yet. Nightmare Alley. Bradley Cooper is in Licorice Pizza for about 5 minutes. He kills those 5 minutes he's in that movie. He's in the whole fucking movie of Nightmare Alley, and I did not like that movie, and I did not like his performance. I feel like that one is the weakest of all the Best Picture nominees for sure. I was not into that one.
Okay, I did see Nightmare Alley, and I thought it was different as far as you're seeing it through the eyes of a carny, and he becomes a carny con man, pretty much.
It multiple storylines there, multiple villains with Cate Blanchett, a lot of star power in this movie. It did not make a lot of money. Guillermo del Toro, it's all visual and sometimes lacks substance, and I felt script was not quite right in this movie.
Honestly, the movie was probably 20 minutes too long. I think there could have been a different ending other than what it was, but then you have to realize what Nightmare Alley meant and what Nightmare Alley...
Full circle from beginning to end. I almost think of it like I could see them writing the script. I think it was Guillermo and Kim Morgan who wrote the screenplay. It's based on a novel, so it's adapted. I get like they sit in the boardroom, they sit at the table and like, this is a great idea. We show this at the beginning, we show this at the end, and it's full circle. But honestly, I don't think it worked once they put it all together.
Right, but Nightmare Alley, just for anybody that doesn't know, is a term used back in the 40s for where they used to find the junkies. And that's where the carnies used to find the freaks that they would use for their shows. So
Defoe, who's in another movie, I like that Spider-Man movie, obviously, he plays Clem in Nightmare Alley, maybe the best part other than Rooney Mara in that film.
Yeah.
And him explaining that process is really cool. That's one of the better scenes in an otherwise not so great movie.
Right.
The Cate Blanchett thing was weird. I don't know if that's a miscast or just she was kind of hamming it up a little bit too much, but her and Cooper had a weird chemistry and I kind of got lost in it.
Yeah, it was very weird, but you get lost in his piercing blue eyes.
All right, speaking of piercing blue eyes, let's talk about your favorite movie this year, The Power of the Dog.
Oh my God.
The action sequences alone, Rob.
Nick, I would rather get season tickets to the Jets than watch that movie ever again.
Because I knew we wasn't going to win a damn thing with the New York Jets.
Jane Campion, who directed The Power of the Dog, look, I would never argue her bona fides. She has a clear vision. She's a very seasoned indie director. The Piano was a great movie. This movie is really clean to look at, and it is a vehicle for great performances. But this movie is really a little bit tricky because it's supposed to be one thing. It ends up kind of being another thing, and that's the whole trick of the movie. I wasn't in love with The Power of the Dog, even though I like other performances in it. To me, that movie, I'm not sure why it has all the momentum that it does. Belfast, Coda, significantly better movies than that.
Well, I can tell you one thing. Sam Elliott definitely does not like this movie.
I like your style, dude.
Sam Elliott was like not having it. Give him a pack of Marlboros and a horse. That man is not, this is not his West.
The big thing, people, if you're going in this movie and you're looking for a dog, there ain't one. There ain't no damn dog in this movie.
I will say Jesse Plemons and Kirsten Dunst together, they are together in real life. Like, I like their chemistry. They have a cool vibe, and Kirsten Dunst is very good in this movie.
I liked Jesse Plemons in two things, Breaking Bad and Battleship.
What about Game Night? He's great in Game Night.
Oh, that's true. I forgot about Game Night.
All right, let's talk about some of the movies that did not get nominated, Rob, because I'll go to the mattresses for one or two. One of the ones that were the big misfires, the ones that Oscar missed out on that they should have gave a chance to here.
Okay, well, I'm going to go with, these are the common people movies. These are the movies that should have been in there. I mean, there's a musical, there's a coming of age movie, there's an action movie, there is a real life movie, and then there is a sci-fi movie, I guess, in this. These are my picks. First of all, we're going to start with a really good musical, a Lin-Manuel Miranda masterpiece. It's an older one, but he made a movie out of it, and it's called In the Heights.
I'm with you. I thought, honestly, I didn't want to bring it up until you mentioned it. I think that's the best of the musicals this year. I was more emotionally moved by that movie, and I thought the sequences and what they did with that sort of set production was much better than what whether they did in Tick, Tick, Boom or West Side Story. Unless you want to talk about Encanto, the animated movie, which was also very good.
I did not see that. I don't watch too many animated movies.
It was cute.
Yeah, cute ain't my thing. Another movie that I thought should have been nominated, lost to the streaming wars, I guess you could say, from Amazon Prime, a Ben Affleck movie.
That's it, Skippy. Pack your shit. Let's go.
I believe it's George Clooney's directorial debut.
No, he's directed before.
He has directed before? Well, it's his directorial debut of Ben Affleck, then. How was that?
Might be right.
Okay. We'll go with that.
I'll allow it.
a movie which is kind of misleading because it was filmed right here in good old Massachusetts, but somehow based in New York.
Yeah, good movie. The accents don't match at all, but I really love this movie. For a while, it was my number one movie of the year, and the performances are incredible, and the soundtrack's amazing, too. I liked it. I can't believe it didn't get some recognition. I do see some of the direction that Clooney does in that movie was a little bit choppy, so maybe a few mistakes really cost him there, but I really liked it.
Well, it's called The Tender Bar. It's a coming-of-age movie, Nick, and it's a part where Ben Affleck can actually reuse all the clothes he wore in Good Will Hunting over again.
Yes, and he fits into him. Actually, you can see he dropped all that Batman weight. He's kind of skinny, smoking the cigarettes again, and he plays a great bartender. What a great role for him. And this is not like a role that sort of makes him a hero or something. He gets beat up. He's kind of like down on his luck a little bit. He's just sort of like the reliable uncle character and fills in the gap of the lacking father. And to me, that's a very touching story. When he gives him the car, just an emotional moment. I just like this movie. It's incredibly rewatchable. I could see myself watching it again, for sure.
Yeah, because we all know how helpful those uncles are, right?
Yeah, those uncles are—they're crucial. They're crucial to the for the formative years.
And just so people,
I wouldn't even know fucking Van Halen.
Well, just so people know, Nick.
Only Van Hagar. That's all I know.
Yeah, you'd be lost. Just so people know, there is no candlepin bowling in New York.
Listen, candlepin bowling should be much more prevalent across the whole world. Forget the United States.
It should. It should be an Olympic sport.
It's the bowling where you really throw your arm out, you know?
Exactly. All right, I got another one for you. An action thriller. You know when you play in Texas Hold'em and you get that 7-2 and you go, damn it, I don't want these. Well, this movie, 7-2 is a good luck for the action hero itself. And this is a movie that just came out recently. I mean, probably been made for over a year and a half, but came out recently. It's called Nobody.
Yeah, this movie I still haven't got to. You have pushed it to me on the pod before. I need to get to this one.
There's a side note to this too coming up when we get to the side categories of the Oscars. My next one is The Eyes of Tammy Faye.
I'm surprised. I think the problem with this movie was that the makeup looked so weird. I just sort of crossed it off.
Have you ever seen Tammy Faye Baker?
Yeah, I get it. It's actually true life is stranger than fiction. That's true. Like there was so much makeup and stuff there. So I will get to this before the Oscars on March 27th. Tell me why this is a good movie.
Two words. Jessica Chastain.
She's a great actress.
She plays Tammy Faye. Like I said, Andrew Garfield is in this also. He plays Jim Baker. She does it all in this movie. She acts, obviously. She sings herself in this movie.
Really?
All the songs you hear in this movie is actually Jessica Chastain. This movie is incredible. She just embodied the part of Tammy Faye Baker.
I'm surprised it's good, and I will get to it. I was thinking like the one I had to rush to see was Spencer with Kristen Stewart, but I think this is the one I'll put up on the list to make sure I get to before the Oscars hit.
My last movie, I used to walk through the set of this as they were filming it in the city, and it's just great to see how it came to life. It's called Free Guy. Of course, a lot of people are like, Ryan Reynolds is annoying. Yes, he is. He's annoying in a good way and an entertaining way. This is a good movie, great special effects in this. Lots of good actors in this movie make up the supporting cast for it as well.
Taiki Waititi shows up. He's a good bad guy. Yeah, he's great.
He should be the next Bond villain. I'm putting that out there.
I love gold.
Little Ray crushes that movie. He's probably my favorite part in that movie, actually. His buddy.
Yep. And like I said, it was filmed all around Boston, all around the places I used to go. Most notably, the main scenes you see are filmed near the Hungarian War Memorial.
Yeah, so amazing part of downtown. I think, look, a lot of the movie I liked, and I love seeing Boston in the movie when I will go to the movie theater. Obviously, great place to set movies. I think the third act gets a little wonky there, and it kind of lost me. And to your point, Ryan Reynolds being Ryan Reynolds, it does get obnoxious.
It's like having a conversation with the person that just wants to constantly poke you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like this podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Take a big step back.
Yeah, and just for me, just to get it out there one more time, look, if you want to fix the Oscars, don't cut the speeches down, don't cut the categories down, get a couple of blockbusters or do a little fan service and get a couple of those movies in there. I really believe that Spider-Man No Way Home is one of the most well-constructed superhero movies ever made. None of that should have worked in that movie, bringing three generations of Spider-Man together, but it worked very well. I don't know how they pulled it off, and just for that alone, it doesn't have to win, but stick it in the category, and then Ghostbusters Afterlife was great fan service, touching. There's emotion in that movie. And I second Rob with the tender bar. I just think it totally should deserve recognition there as well.
Well, Nick, I think that they should fix the Oscars like they're trying to fix baseball. There should be a shot clock on the speeches.
Just a bit outside.
Exploding podiums.
Let me ask you this. Do you care about the host? We didn't talk about it at the opener, but it's Regina Hall, Wanda Sykes, Amy Schumer. Seems a little crowded. So three hosts. We went from no hosts to three hosts, which is kind of weird. I wasn't really fazed by the no hosts the last 3 years, right? I thought it was fine. But my favorite host of all time, Billy Crystal, like I would always jump up and down if he was hosting.
Enjoy yourselves, because nothing can take the sting out of the world's economic problems like watching millionaires present each other with golden statues.
So,
yeah, gone are the days of Billy Crystal, I believe.
Steve Martin hosting. Was pretty good. I like Jon Stewart and David Letterman. They got panned, but I like them.
Well, Regina can do it by herself. I mean, I'm
why not just give it to Regina? Of the three, like Schumer and Sykes are more edgy. Regina Hall seems like a perfect candidate for this. Just let her run it.
Exactly. Just let her do it. I mean, she can do anything. So
yeah, she's amazing.
What's the Highlander?
It's a movie.
Any good?
Very good. It won the Academy Award.
Oh, for what?
For best movie ever made.
Let's move on to the side categories, the important stuff.
I feel like I just won the Academy Award.
This is the stuff where you get the emotional speeches, exactly so. So let's go with actress first. Now, you really like Jessica Chastain, The Eyes of Tammy Faye. Let me run them down for you. Jessica Chastain, lead actress. Olivia Colman, The Lost Daughter, lead actress. Penelope Cruz in Parallel Mothers. Nicole Kidman, who's really impressive in being the Ricardos, and Kristen Stewart in Spencer. Your favorite, your pick there is Jessica Chastain?
She is. You know why she is?
The songs?
No. Well, there's another reason. She's my other Anna Kendrick, Nick.
Yeah,
I have to get that in there.
Yeah, I would love to lose to her at a poker game.
Yes. Over and over again.
I don't even look at the cards. This is kind of a loaded category, and I have a couple here that I need to catch up on. I have a sense that Nicole Kidman is going to win, and she's the front runner. And before I had seen that movie, I wasn't so sure about that. Sometimes you make judgments before you ever see the stuff. She's great as Lucy. She kills the accent, and she's like a force on there. And Javier is so good in it, too. The way they juxtapose each other is really brilliant, and it gets to an emotional ending by the end. That said, Olivia Colman, in a movie I did not like, still won me over. And she is so dang good in The Lost Daughter. I wonder if she's going to get some momentum. I'd be thrilled if Jessica Chastain wins, though. But I think that she's an amazing actress, and I'd love to see her up there giving a great speech.
I'm looking forward to seeing who wins and see if either one of us is correct in our predictions.
Let's talk about actor in a leading role, because I think this one's pretty loaded, too. I don't have like a clear favorite, so I wonder what your take is. I'll run them down for you. Javier Bardem in Being the Ricardos, Benedict Cumberbatch, The Power of the Dog, Andrew Garfield, Tick, Tick, Boom, Will Smith, King Richard, and Denzel in The Tragedy of Macbeth.
Javier Bardem did all of his own singing in that movie.
Boom, chicky, boom, chicky, boom.
Which means a lot to me in a part like that.
A lot of and booms. Yeah, no, and he kills it too. He has to be charming as Desi, and he really kills that.
Now, as far as the other people, I think Will Smith is the odds-on favorite to win this.
I kind of think deservedly so. If anybody's got a little edge, that's a tough role, a tough part, and he hasn't got a ton of Oscar love, honestly.
However, if I was running the Oscars, I'd have my own nominee, and this is making up for the snub that this guy got on Better Call Saul, and I would have Bob Odenkirk as my goddamn best actor in a movie.
Hot take. You know what? I think you're right. Honestly, it took me a second to get there. We should probably stick an action movie in there too. We should probably get more genres in there. There's been plenty of comedies and plenty of action movies that very much deserve to be nominated in this category. I don't know if you consider Don't Look Up a comedy. I guess it is. Maybe that's what they're saying. It feels like the Oscars are still compromising. Maybe we need to broaden this thing out a little bit. And again, they don't have to win. You know what I mean? Like nobody doesn't have to beat The Power of the Dog or whatever, but it should be there. Let's shake it up a little bit.
Right. I mean, if you're going to make me buy season tickets to the New York Jets, I'm not going to watch a fucking movie about a goddamn mountain range.
Here's your fucking sandwich.
I'm heading out west.
Let's transition a little bit because one of the guys that I thought got snubbed was actually Troy Kotsur, I think is how you say his name, from Coda. He's so good. I actually thought that he had enough screen time to warrant best leading actor, but he's nominated for best supporting actor. And that one is pretty loaded too. And I wonder, you know, what your take on this is. I'll run them down for you real fast. It's Cyrian Hines, who's great in Belfast. Troy Kotsur, who's in Coda. Jesse Tracy Plemons. That one, I feel like you cross off Power of the Dog. He doesn't do enough. J.K. Simmons kills it in being the Ricardos. And then Cody Smith McPhee is going in with all the momentum for the Power of the Dog also.
Power of the Dog,
That kid's pretty good though, Rob. You got to give it to him.
I'd rather eat a 10-week-old hot dog in the stadium while watching that Jets game that I bought season tickets for.
I have two guns, one for each of you.
J.K. Simmons, my pick for best supporting actor.
Yeah.
That guy needs to be in every role in every movie ever made, along with Samuel L. Jackson.
It's weird because he's got the high-waisted pants, and it, like, I think that movie, like the first act of that movie, because it's Aaron Sorkin dialogue with a weird topic, and he's got communism and a bad marriage and all this stuff going on. It's a lot going on. Plus, you have, like, can't say pregnant on TV. There's just so many things going on in that movie that it took me a while to wrap my head around it. But the last third of that movie, he is so good. Honestly, like, I would not be mad if he won. I think it's going to be Cody Smith McPhee, but I still root for the guy from CODA, Troy Kotzer.
I just love that you said that. They couldn't say pregnant back then, but we're watching a movie where the swears are just dropping like,
I know, you know,
a truck stop in the middle of Gloucester.
Are you fucking with me?
They should come up with a new category, best supporting cast, as opposed to best overall
ensemble,
cast.
Ensemble, right? Think about the Golden Globes with ensemble. I actually think that that would be something the Oscars could do that people would like.
Yeah, they can get rid of, you know, best grip and best Foley operator. You know, they can get rid of those categories.
You know, I'm not a big advocate for changing things that are not broken per se, just because ratings are slipping or whatever. But I do think, like, what MTV Movie Awards does, or what the Golden Globes does with ensemble things, best on-screen kiss, how about best scene, best action sequence, some things like that.
Yeah.
None of that's going to destroy the legacy of the Academy Awards. Throw a couple of those in there, and I think it'd be a lot of fun. Put them right at the top of the show to get people, you know, involved.
I think they're afraid of using other things that are being used in other award shows.
Yeah, I think that's true. But look, this is a problem, Rob, and I'll bring it up now. I brought it up on other podcasts, certainly brought it up on my blog before. Fan service is one of those things where, like, people go on Reddit or whatever and they look at what they think the movie's going to be about, and then scriptwriters cross those ideas off because somebody's already thought about it. Fan service is giving the fans what they want. Just because you give the fans what they want doesn't mean it's automatically going to be bad or you're going to roll your eyes at it. If you do fan service well, Spider-Man, Ghostbusters, a bad example is Star Wars, you can reap a lot of benefits. And I think, like, the Oscars could give the fans a little bit of what they want. It's not going to kill anybody.
Give the people what they want.
If you're going to give me hope, you got to do better than you're doing.
You know what? They need to stop the snobbery and embrace the culture. That's what I'm going with here.
Let's plow through best supporting, because I think it's an important category and it's super loaded. Maybe the most loaded, actually. Jesse Buckley, Lost Daughter, Ariana DeBose from West Side Story, Judi Dench, Belfast, Kirsten Dunst, The Power of the Dog, and Anjanou Ellis from King Richard. I think this category is loaded. Any one of them I wouldn't be upset with. I think it's Ariana from West Side Story, but I will say Kirsten Dunst amazing in Power of the Dog, Judi Dench every single time. Belfast, she kills that role. I loved her in it.
Jesse Buckley in The Lost Daughter. I mean, she played the younger
Olivia Colman. Intense part, actually. The younger Olivia Colman was more intense than older.
Right. And she
maybe more evil, actually.
You saw what Olivia Colman became as far as seeing the flashbacks. There's a person missing from this list, and it should have been Dakota Johnson nominated as well.
Her presence on the screen in that movie, she is magnetic. We know her parents. I guess when you put, like, amazing and amazing together, smoking hot, Melanie Griffith's handsome, Don Johnson, you get just like this crazy, you cannot take your eyes off Dakota Johnson in that movie. And she doesn't do a lot or say a lot necessarily. But I think when she gets mad at the end, you really see her shine. She is a good actress. She is going to get the right role one day, and she is going to win an Oscar.
There's something really sexy about her that makes you not want to take your eyes off of her, but not feeling in a creepy way. Just like you just want to keep watching her.
Yeah, maybe that's giving ourselves a little too much credit to say we're not creepy. But yeah, I think there is something there that, like, it's just this sort of, like, you're drawn to whatever her presence is. Like, she walks in the room and everybody kind of feels it, you know?
We still have no idea what type of family she has in the movie, what are.
Like you said, gypsies, mafia, we don't really know much about it. And honestly, I think it's better that we don't know.
Probably. I have to say this, and I know you mentioned it too off pod. They're filming this movie in Greece. We're the Greek people.
Yeah. Can I just come? plane for a second? Can we do a Captain Tangent for a second?
Go ahead, man. It's time.
Not only, Rob, is it filmed in Greece, there's Greek stuff there, so it's not like they're being ambiguous about it. It's a made-up island in the movie, but it's filmed on a real island, okay? And you can see the Greek shit everywhere. Also, the soundtrack's full of fucking Greek songs. So if you're going to have Greek songs and you're going to film on a Greek island, how about one or two Greek people? The fucking bartender couldn't be a Greek guy or something? You want to be mad about West Side Story? Let's get some Greeks in there.
I have enough money saved up to retire to a beautiful little Greek island with beautiful little Greeks.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, Ed Harris is about as far from being Greek as, you know...
I love Ed Harris. I wouldn't necessarily, maybe, yeah, I don't know. That is weird. That it was just this white guy.
Being Greek as Genovian Clowney is.
It was the guy from Apollo 13. He retired. It was a stressful situation. He moved to Greece. He's been partying and drinking ouzu ever since.
Exactly.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
And dancing, too. Yeah.
I just think it was weird. You know, Maggie Gyllenhaal is kind of plugged into this stuff. Like, at least a couple of Greek people. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and there was nobody smashed any plates.
Nothing. Yeah. Not one BB Baca. Let's do a couple quick hitters. Directing, I have my support for Kenneth Branagh. I think this category got a little bit ripped off. Maggie Gyllenhaal not nominated. Maybe she should have been. Several people have a case here.
Yeah, Maggie Gyllenhaal was nominated and won, I believe, on the Spirit Awards for Best Director.
She's nominated for script, and she might get a shot here at that. So I think she's my favorite for that.
And some people don't take the be-all and end-all as being the Oscars. A lot of them like the other award shows. The SAGs, the People's Choice means a lot to the actors and the directors, you know, more than the Oscars do, because they're picked by the same people that pick the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I think, to me, it's the Academy Awards. That is the end-all, be-all. But I watch pieces of all these other ones. The Spirit Awards are specifically for indie movies. With streaming, indie movies and the definition of what they are gets a little bit wonkier. I don't know the best answer to that, but for me, the only one that's appointment viewing is the Oscars.
The Spirit Awards did have some strange things. They had a movie called Red Rocket.
I heard that was good, about the porn star that comes back home.
Yeah, Simon Rex actually won on the Spirit Awards for Best Male Actor for that movie Red Rocket.
That's another one on my list. I need to get to that.
And that movie's funny because they had no permits to do anything. They actually filmed that movie like, you know, gangland style, running around with the cameras, running away from the cops, not having any permits, doing anything. So,
see, that to me is a true indie movie. That guy, Sean Baker, was the guy who did the Florida Project, Starlet, which had Muriel Hemingway's daughter in that. Both those movies are really good. They're hard watches, don't get me wrong, but really well constructed. So that feels like what indie movies should be. I think The Lost Daughter, it premieres on Netflix. I don't know if that was always going to be the case. Maybe COVID impacted that. Lost Daughter feels like an indie movie to me for sure.
I would probably go out and see an indie movie overseeing a big budget production most of the time anyway.
Right. Just to run down a couple more categories, me and you both are huge, huge fans. We spent a lot of our time watching these documentaries. I thought The Summer of Soul, which I believe you can watch on Disney Plus, by Questlove, it's the front runner. It's very, very good. Couldn't take my eyes off of that. But there were a lot of music documentaries in 2021 that didn't get any love. Under the Volcano was good. Tina, we talked about that on the pod, was amazing. Jagged, which was HBO Max, was amazing. Another one, Kenny G from the Bill Simmons Production Company. Listening to Kenny G was really good. Brian Wilson, The Long Promised Road. All of these things got snubbed. I think like a documentary series, it's a small category, I guess, compared to some of the big stuff. But that's another category they should maybe open up for more entries.
I would say if people want to educate themselves on music, look for music documentaries, as many as you can.
They're getting better.
Just loaded with great sounds, great music, great musicians, and just lots of history that you probably didn't know.
Yeah, it's fascinating stuff. Like, I've always said this, I don't like real life drama. I hate drama in my real life, but band drama, I'm always game for band drama, baby. Bring me the Mamas and the Papas. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one's a little too intense. Bring me the Fleetwood Mac. Let's go Fleetwood Mac.
James Brown.
Yeah, James Brown. All right, whatever. Visual effects, I want to do shouts to Dune, but Spider-Man, No Way Home, again, a movie that shouldn't have worked but did. Production design. Look, the one thing about West Side Story we can agree on is it looked so clean. They did a great job rebuilding that city, and it looked great. You're close to our heart because we're so musically inclined on East to West with Nick and Rob. Original song. That movie's not any good, but No Time to Die by Billie Eilish is a great song, and I hope it wins. But Down to Joy, Van Morrison. Morrison, Crazy Van Morrison, I know, don't tweet me. He has a great soundtrack moment on Belfast. He's a lot of old songs, but he also wrote Down to Joy for the movie. It's very, very good.
Oh, well, what do you think's going to win, though? The Do You Remember Me from the Encanto? Is that what it is?
I think it's what, that's what's going to win. And actually, I like the Don't Talk About Bruno or whatever. Pretty good song on that movie. Encanto's got great music, but No Time to Die is like a legit good song. So I'm kind of rooting for Billie Eilish.
Usually, if you get the go-ahead to do a song for a Bond film, you're guaranteed to be nominated for an Oscar for it.
A lot of them have been, and rightfully so. A lot of them are fucking good, so. All right, so March 27th, ABC, that is the Oscars. Make sure you watch it.
Thank you so much. We'll have a great show.
Thank you, Rob, for allowing us to talk the Oscars on East to West with Nick and Rob.
Well, Nick, it was a pleasure actually doing it for the first time ever in my life to say that. But actually, I want people to get back to us. I want us to actually, you know, go to your podcast format that you listen to us on, if you can, and leave us a review or rating or anything like that. Or you can...
You're going to rate us. Apple.
Take a bite out of an apple and rate us. Also, if you want to email us, we're at easttowestwithnickandrob@gmail.com.
East to West with Nick and Rob. @gmail.com.
And if you want to reach out to us on Twitter, it is @NickandRobE2W.
Twitter.
All right. So once again, it was a pleasure doing this episode about the Oscars and the upcoming movies that are being nominated and see who wins. Nick, is there anything that you want to recommend?
I got just one quick hitter, Rob. I did go to the movie theater, support your local movie theaters, and I did see The Batman with Robert Pattinson from Twilight. Messy. Matt Reeves, I was a little nervous him taking over the Batman movies. A little crowded, a little messy, script's a little weird. Although the soundtrack is good, the tone is good. Certainly worth your time. A little bit too long and a messy script. Zoe Kravitz is amazing in it. So, yeah, it's a tentative, like, go see it, but you don't have to rush to it.
No, Nick, I have to ask, did you go afterwards to Little Caesars and get yourself a bat pizza?
I did not. But honestly, I might go fucking today because that thing looks fucking sick. Anything with the little Batman, that's the only thing I can draw. A hot take. That's all I can draw is the Batman symbol. That's it. That's my only... My sister is like a world-class artist and I can only fucking draw the Batman symbol. I can kind of draw Ninja Turtle, to be fair.
I've got something. I've got some stuff here. We're going to go back in time for a couple of gems that I remember that are kind of like almost a similar movie. I was going through and I saw a movie on Netflix starring Clive Owen, one of his first parts. And it was called Croupier, which is another term for a dealer in a casino.
The Vegas thing, yeah. I like that. That's like the table runner or whatever.
And then if you want to watch a little back-to-back action with that, it's a Rob Lowe movie, Oxford Blues. And if you think about it, it's almost the same plot.
Yeah, I remember that movie very... It's been a long time. I need to go back into that.
So if you guys want a Netflix and chill or whatever platform you're going to use...
Deep dive for recommendations. I like it, Rob. I know.
So, Nick, you have any plugs?
Always, Rob. Realwatchability.com. Top 10 movies of the year. Top 10 movies of all time. Make sure you check out my Academy Awards 2021 Oscar preview. All my picks are there on the website. And then TalkingFlick.com.
Hey, Realwatchability.com, Nick. Always go there. It's less reading than having to see drive my car.
Way fucking less reading. All right, what do you got, Rob? You got any plugs?
I actually do. This is for anybody that's in Massachusetts, preferably on the South Shore. One of our friends who takes care of my wife's needs as far as getting her hair done and facials and stuff like that has opened up her own place.
Oh, and exciting.
Yes, and it's called Trios Spa. It's a skincare studio, and it's in Norwell, Mass. And if you want any information on this, just check the liner notes on the episode, and we'll have all the information on there for it. You ask for Molly, and she'll take care of you for your hair and your skin needs.
Support your local businesses. Support Molly. Thank you, Rob, again. Oscars, always fun. March 27th on ABC. Enjoy the show.
And the winner is...
Hi, I'm Oscar, and I'm your friend to the end. Tidy ho!
Peace!
Peace! What's up, y'all? I'm the last man on Earth. Shit's all fucked up. Don't forget to like and subscribe.